This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vosken, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 304 of The Next Step. Yes, this is a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being, of our life, and views it through the most ancient of all Christian lenses, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, of course, and we call that polished look an Armodoxy look. So sit back, relax right now as we take the next step. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. Let's take the next step. Well, so glad to have you with us today. It is a beautiful day. We are broadcasting from Epostle East here in beautiful Pasadena, California. And yes, that was me crossing Abbey Road. I know, it was a tough one, but at least one of you got it. Yes, there is a difference between the two blogs, between the Armodoxy blog and the Lenten Journey. There was definitely a difference in yesterday's post, and you figured it out. Yes, that was me crossing Abbey Road, and we made it as part of the Risking blog. Hey, if you haven't been following the Healing Journey, what is it called? The Road to Healing, or the Lenten Journey that we're doing this year. It has been very therapeutic for me, and from the responses we're getting, I think it's just really probably one of the most popular blogs we've done. I'm really appreciating reading some of the comments that we're getting, and I'm very flattered and honored. And I got to tell you honestly, I feel the priesthood alive with the responses that you're sending me, because you know what is the priesthood but a healing ministry? Think about it for a moment, right? And what is a priest supposed to be doing but healing people? And I'm not just talking about physical healing, right? I'm not talking about illnesses and diseases only, but diseases of the mind, of the spirit. I mean, what was Christ's mission? Healing, right? Reconciling. Healing. Salvation. What is salvation but the ultimate of healing, right? So I've got to be really honest with you. This Lenten journey, this road to healing, this set of podcasts that we've been doing, and we are now, on day number 33, I think tonight day number 33 gets published. I mean, each day is really an opportunity for me to actually walk with you. And again, I'm going to tell you, as a priest, this is a very, very special and unique honor to be able to walk with you and share with you in some of the struggles that you're going through. And I truly, truly appreciate the feedback. So anyway, the Lenten Journey is on our Epostle site. And lately, I've been recommending. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I got an email from somebody, and I think I shared it with you or something. It's very important that if you're going to do the Lenten journey, don't start where we are right now. It's very important to start at day one Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to correspond to the 40 days of Lent. You can definitely start it today and end it in 40 days. But it is really a journey where each lesson builds on the lessons of the past. And again, thank you very much for your response. But you have tuned in right now to The Next Step. And today we've got a great show for you. We've got Susie producing today, Ken in the control room, and I am here to talk about, well, a lot of stuff that's been happening over the week. I guess right after we signed off last week, a lot of things escalated over there in the Middle East, especially in Syria. We've got the situation over there in Kesab. Now, Kesab is more of a buzzword among Armenians, and I know we have a lot of listeners who are not Armenian. Let me just fill you in. Kesab, as well as a few hot spots in the Middle East, these became Armenian centers for us right after the Armenian Genocide, 1915. A lot of these countries, a lot of these towns in the Middle East, primarily in Syria, in Lebanon, they opened up their doors and allowed many of the refugees and allowed people from the genocide to settle. And so one of these towns is called Kesab, and just last week reports came in that, you know, there was bombing, there was killings, and all of the Armenians in that town, all of the inhabitants have been moved out. And I'll let you take care of the details. Of course, it's beyond the scope of what we do here on The Next Step. I don't want to get into the politics or what's going on over there, but I do want to share some information that I think is very pertinent to our topic over here, especially when we're talking about healing. It's not just about healing the individual, but healing some of the wounds in the world. And obviously, as we've said many times, you know, Christ is not about coming and talking to a select group of people. Christ's message is universal. When we talk about him as being Prince of Peace, that peace is not limited to just a select group of people, but is a peace that he can offer to the entire world. He does offer to the entire world. It's up to us to understand how we can tap into that peace. And what happened with Kesab, with the war, with the exodus of people, with the killing of people, all of a sudden Armenians woke up and they said that, hey, wait, what's going on there? And tragically, a small group of people also tried to exploit the situation. And I'm saying this because actually during the week we were talking about some of the issues that we're involved in through In Issues Ministry and Dativ Outreach. And we were talking about Dativ Outreach, specifically domestic violence here in the United States that we're talking about. And there was an incident where something came up and somebody had written something. And we were talking internally and we were talking about the exploitation, how people will exploit a lot of these social issues for their own political agenda. And all of a sudden, Kesab came up, and we see the hashtag Save Kesab and people throwing it out all over before the facts all came in. And obviously, you don't have the luxury of waiting around. But I got several calls from people that said, okay, can we mobilize In Issues? Can we get out there? Can we take food? Can we take supplies out there? And obviously, that would be great to do. The problem is we don't have the infrastructure in place, and you're in the middle of a war. And the bigger problem is that the facts were coming in at different rates. So it was obvious that some people had exploited those facts and to work for their own political gains. And what I want to do is I want to really talk about how important it is, how important the In Issues model is, because we don't emphasize this enough, especially when we talk here on The Next Step. It's not about just come and listen to my brand of Christianity or listen to my religion. My religion is better than yours. No, it's about really taking the essence of what Armenian Orthodoxy is about, stripping away all the extra peripherals and the trappings, and understanding the true message that has been given to us. And the message is very clear. It's a message of peace, of comfort, of strength, of courage. It's a message of victory. Yeah, it's a message of victory. It's a message of triumph. It's a message of healing, salvation, saving, salvation, triumph, okay? So you look at the whole Armenian experience for the last 2,000 years since Christianity has come in. What incredible military power or what military strategy have we had aside from this incredible power of love? Now, what I'm saying is this, okay, and you can buy it or you don't have to buy it, but if we want to tap into the Christian message is about love. Jesus says it under no uncertain terms. He says the power of love is greater than the power of evil. He's saying you need to put down the sword and understand that the power of love can overcome the power of hate. Now, you either need to accept this. When you're face-to-face with this reality, with this message of Christ, you either need to accept it or you need to say that, okay, you know, that's nice, but I don't buy it. And you're free to do that. In fact, most of the world is free and does not buy it. But if you do buy it, you've got to start looking for the options. What is Christ talking about? What is he talking about? Now, Leo Tolstoy, who wrote, "The Kingdom of God is Within and Without You," I highly, highly recommend that book. In fact, I believe I saw it the other day. Yes, thank you. Yes, you can find that on Kindle as a free book, too. It's in the Amazon free books or it's Google books. Leo Tolstoy, The Kingdom of God is Within and Without You. And it is a very difficult, dry read, but it's well worth it. He talks about the power of nonviolent resistance, the power of resisting evil. And, you know, when you talk about what Gandhi, many times I've shared with you what Gandhi talked about the power of nonviolent resistance, and I said that he wasn't a Christian, but he tapped into the words of Christ. Well, he learned from Leo Tolstoy. He had been influenced, let's say it that way, by the writings of Leo Tolstoy. And certainly Martin Luther King, more recently, 50 years ago, as he was leading the civil rights movement, influenced by the same idea of resisting evil nonviolently. That means you don't pick up the gun. You don't shoot people. You don't kill people. You don't use fire to fight fire. You use water to fight fire. You don't kill people and say, okay, I'm here for peace. Do you remember The Guns of Will Sonnet? I used to love that show. One of my most favorite shows.
No brag.
It was,
just fact.
Yes, no brag, just fact, right. So it was a grandfather and his grandson going through the West, and he was the fastest gun in the West. And he'd get into town, and he says, "We don't want any trouble. We come in peace." And yet by the time the half-hour show was over, you know, half the town was shot up and dead and lying around. I mean, you obviously cannot go out there and talk about peace by wielding a gun and telling people, "We're going to bring about peace by being mightier than you." Now, that's I know that this goes contrary to what the strategy for war is all about, but what I'm offering you is an alternative, not because of my doing, but it's basically what Christ taught. And if Christ is teaching this, as a Christian, you have an opportunity either to say, yes, I believe this, or you can just say, I don't believe it, and, you know, I'll go my merry way. But it's very hard to reconcile the teachings of Christ if you can't understand that it's about nonviolent resistance, about resisting evil with the power of love. And this is where I want to talk about it, because it's not about just being a doormat. It's not about being thrown to one corner, but it's called leveraging, and especially for Armenians. Let me do the song of the day, and I'm going to be back. I'm going to talk about leveraging love today, okay? And then we can talk a little bit. We're in the Lenten period. We're going to be talking about it. Last week, I shared with you some Lenten melodies, which got a lot of response. People enjoyed it. How about another one, okay? Well, we don't go through Lent all the time. Here it is. This is from St. Narcisse Seminary. Another piece from the Lenten liturgies.
Naya tsito vaidat katatsi kos tertial gortas terat, Tėvas Panakas reštakats turbaban mestakarats, pargazans insiportanats, ihavarišer čokdivats, zidavanjan jevgišeri, tocukes parsan lareli. Einaneranas kasbansan undan jarvortiyevan, forararedas divgortso yevas gisheri hangistno, urinan celachats marmna arton linel mesas tokpo, Zitavanjan Yevgisheri, Tatsukes Parsan Lareli. Rabun Hokvats Panavodats Akhpurlusovash Vokshnorats, Ipageldrans Gnotjans Marnots, Luisturachats Sertits Medots, Igishetats arkes kanchelan treginats nor nabanel, zitavanjan yevgisheri, tatsukes parsan lareli. Surpats arpats yetortutyun, asmes makriakes bnakutyun, Snorjand man kans naragasti hang chelan kesi hang kogni, Turas haits vats bare kaminas pohjerits nakanagin, Sitavanjan yevgisheri, tatsukes parsan lareli. Երեպելի լույս աստեղծ էր, ստիվ և սկիշեր բաժանեց էր, ծակյա մեստերի գիշերի աշճարագայցի մանալի, դուր ամեն այն ժամանակի սպահպանող աչքովանի, Zitavanjan Yevgisheri, Tatsukes Parsan Lareli. Sirokor Arkyaler Kir Borbokes Tihokismet, Skorhor Tsartits Mer Makreses, Luzgitutyan Kopailese, Ikno mahus mezartuse, smitas botsov kopareste, zitavanjan yevgisheri, tatsukes parsan lareli. Ikes nahim kluysan matuitsis gayakan tsatskialuso, Vorvasan mer yetarik biyev nanjetseri tapani, armez nanjya arton pnotyon, herkyas harin ergortsutyon, zitavanjan yevgisheri, tatsukes parsan lareli. Eit pluso anastveri patanok kam karachi, vor pakyal tram kedekoyin yereve tsar metasanin, antov mayi arkes gochem, teriev astvatskes tavanem, Et jehev armes ere kohis, gift us of join
that is some music, Lenten music called Nayat Sirov, one of my favorites, you know, in my life it's had a very special meaning, actually. It was the hymn to which we walked down the aisle, yes. Yeah, we didn't do the traditional Here Comes the Bride. How about that? We did Nayat Sirov. Anyway, Nayat Sirov comes to us from the peace hour and the rest hour that traditionally here in the United States we call part of the Huskum service, the vigil, the evening vigil. Nayat Sirov, it has, let's see, it would be 8, 9, 10, 10 verses corresponding to the name of St. Nerses Shnorhavi. Each verse starts off with one of the letters of his name. It's actually, if you read just the first letter of each of the verses, it would be Nersesi Yerk, the song of Nerses. So St. Nerses Shnorali, just one of the giants in the Armenian church. You listen to some of this music, it's not only it takes you away somewhere else, but if you understand the words and you get into the words, and let me see, I can't promise you this, but I'll make a note right now. If we can, we'll put some translations on today's show notes so you could check it out. The words are really the theology of the Armenian Church. And you heard the repetitions line in this particular hymn. Zi devanshian yev kisheri. Every day and night I will sing your praise is the song. And just a beautiful one. I love it, and I hope you enjoyed it. It's hypnotic too, you know. And when we do the when you listen to some of these, it's not so much that you have to understand each word, but it's really an opportunity to let it carry you away, let it take you someplace else, and it certainly does that for me. Nayat Sirov, that's what we listen to. There will be a link on our show notes so you can check out the Saint Nerses website and all the great stuff that comes out of there. I want to share with you this idea of leveraging love. And it's really just about taking an idea and leveraging it. And strategically, love can do that. It can make a big difference in the world. And it's so powerful. And I believe that Jesus, when he talked about the power of love, he wasn't talking about it in a metaphorical way. He wasn't talking about it in an idealistic way. He was talking it in a practical, pragmatic, in an applicable manner. In other words, you take love and you can do big things with it. You can move the mountains. So let's talk about leveraging first, okay? And I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show note, because I did a presentation on this at Glendale Community College a few years ago. It's called Leveraging Love. It's about an hour long thing. It's worth watching if you feel like it. Here's a shortened version, and I hope I could get the message across. Very, very important, especially these days when we're talking about the situation, the mass atrocities that are happening in Kesab. Now, I did receive an interesting email this morning, which goes on the verge of feeling just disheartened and really at the point of hopelessness, and says, you know, that we're basically unimportant people and divided, shattered, and continuously scrambling to seize the day. These are words that the writer uses, and just beautifully articulated. I won't read the entire email, but it got me thinking. It got me thinking that, yes, it is time that we really beef it up about leveraging love. You can't just talk about it. You really have to leverage it. So what are we talking about when we talk about leveraging love? It's basically the In His Shoes philosophy. It is a very Armenian Orthodox philosophy. In fact, you go to Armenia, the In His Shoes is translated Tzavadanim. You know, let me understand your pain. In His Shoes, let me walk in your shoes and let me feel your pain. Let me understand. It's a very Christian, Armenian Christian idea. Jesus, understand the other people, understand the people, that you are a creation of God and so is everybody. I always think about, you know, recently I shared with you this epiphany that I had at one of the baptisms, because the prayer of baptism also is a prayer over the water. And we pray over the water and we say, as Jesus entered the river Jordan, and it became an example of blessing this water. And you think about it, well, Jesus walked into the Jordan. What happened? The Jordan became holy, right? But what's the Jordan connected to? Via the rivers and via the different routes, it's connected to the world water supply. And basically, all world water is holy. Basically, the earth is holy. Christ has ordained the entire planet with his presence. And we've got to start understanding Christ as the global humanitarian. Okay? Not just this whole idea about chosen people. He was the one who was definitely against that. It's not a question of chosen. You blew it. You're not accepting it. It's going out to the whole world. Right? Remember the story of the banquet? The invitations were sent out. You didn't accept it? Okay. The invitation is to everybody. What does St. Paul say? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor free man. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all. Who's the we are all? Everyone, okay? So let's get with the program. So what is can you do by leveraging love? There's a small amount of us. Love is a powerful tool. How do you leverage it? Well, it comes to us from basic physics. You've got a 1,000-pound weight, and you've got to lift it. Now, you have a few options. You can tear every ligament in your body and just probably be smashed at the end of it. Or you can call over maybe about 10 friends. Maybe about 20. Each of you takes a portion of that weight. Together you can lift it. Well, guess what? Well, science to your rescue. Levers. Levers. Okay, you take a plank. You put it underneath this 1,000-pound weight. And now the plank, like a seesaw on the other side, you exert 1,000 pounds of energy on the other side, and what happens is that the 1,000-pound weight comes up. Okay, that's simple, right? But you're saying, okay, if I'm going to lift 1,000 pounds on this side so the other side can be lifted up, well, what have I learned? What have I gained by that? How am I going to lift up 1,000 pounds on this side? No, you don't need to. What you need to do is you need to change the position of the fulcrum. That's that point at which that plank is being balanced. So if you move that fulcrum closer to the weight, in other words, the other side of that plank is gotten a lot longer, right? You can exert less force. And if you get it long enough, even lesser force. Okay, so now what happens all of a sudden? When you learn to move that fulcrum, you can leverage what you got. Now, we have power. We have this power called love. And you need to be able to leverage that to change things, such as war, such as the things that are taking place in the world. Injustice, domestic violence, rape, killing, genocide. How are you going to stop genocide with love? Well, let me give you a few examples, okay? This is wild, you know, when you think about it. You think about how Jesus talked about love. What did he do? Gave the ultimate expression of love. Loving and caring for people. Reaching out to people. And so, unfortunately, recently, you know, because of this, the Jewish stories of Adam and Eve and the Noah's Ark and some of these negative things that the press just loves, they get tossed into it. No, Jesus wasn't about those stories. He was about this pure opportunity to love people. And unfortunately, recently, he's getting thrown in with the baby with the bathwater. People just talking about right and left, this anti-religion thing. No, it's not about Jesus being some kind of religious fanatic. He was fanatical about love. As creator, he talks about love. You think about, what is that prime mover? What is that big bang? But love. The opportunity to start life. How do you start life? Through love, right? I mean, we say it too, right? You make love. You make love. Love brings life. Okay, how do you leverage that love now? How do you leverage it so you can pick up those thousand? And so you can change the world. You can bring about peace. You can offer it to the world as an alternative, realistic alternative to some of the violence and the ugliness in the world. Well, I want to share with you a couple stories from my own personal experience. Some things that happened and I could vouch for it. The power of love, the power of leveraging that, how you can leverage that love. First story comes when I was the pastor in Cupertino. I was there between the 82 and 95, 96. So about 14 years in Cupertino. And what we decided on April 24, this is the day that the Armenian Genocide began, and it is a day that is commemorated, April 24th. In fact, in a few minutes, I'm going to be sharing with you, you know, we are at the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan Genocide. April 6th, this coming Sunday, is when the Rwandan Genocide began in 1994. And because the Rwandans, April 6th, April 24th, the Jewish Holocaust, April, so April is known as the month of genocide awareness. And so while we were in Cupertino, we said, let's do something. Instead of talking about the past, let's talk about what we're doing right now. We started a campaign of raising awareness about genocide via something very intimate, and that intimate was giving the life out of us. We started donating blood, and the motto was very simple. We said in 1915 we gave blood against our will, referring to the genocide of 1915, April 24th, the Armenian Genocide. Here were a group of Armenian Christians. We were giving blood. We gave our blood in 1915 against our will. Today, we're giving it willingly for the benefit of humanity. And we started this campaign up in Cupertino, and it was very, very successful. We donated to the Red Cross. Every year, we'd get together on April 24th and make it an opportunity where people could come and donate. So 1997, I found myself in Pasadena, being the pastor over here. A little bit more traditional, a little bit more conservative group of people than the Bay Area. And right away, we said, let's. In fact, I went to USC and through Dr. Dekmajian, who was teaching political science there, I had an opportunity to be the chaplain for the USC Armenian Student Association. And one of the first things we did is we said, let's do this blood drive. And here's the motto. 1915, against our will. Here we are today, giving willingly for the benefit of humanity. And we opened up our church in Pasadena, and lo and behold, a bunch of people in the church. What are you giving? What's going on? And so I explained to them what we're doing, and people calmed down. It was nice. They calmed down. Until they've asked the question, well, who gets the blood? Okay, you're donating blood. Now, who gets the blood? And I said, well, if this is a love offering, anybody who needs it. Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? Wait a minute. You mean, what about the Armenians? Well, thank God there's no Armenians that are in need of blood, but certainly if they did need blood, they'd get the blood. But right now, the blood banks need blood, and we're going to supply it for the blood banks. Now, there's a group of them in Pasadena just couldn't handle this. But then the big question came. They said, what if a Turk needed blood? The Turks who killed the Armenians back in 1915. What if he needs blood? I said, yeah, well, what if he needs it? I mean, is there a greater payback than having a Turk walk around with Armenian blood? It's like, whoa, think about it for a moment, right? Well, believe it or not, we met some violent opposition. What is that? There's an Einstein quote like that, right? Great spirits have always... Let's see, where are they? Great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. Oof, there's your judgment statement for the day. Okay, so anyway, they opposed it, but we still went ahead and did it. Now, what's interesting is all the traditional Armenian groups and churches got together and they did all of their campaigns. And the following day, the LA Times ran an editorial talking about the blood drive, about the great Armenian blood drive. Like, what a novel idea that Armenians were giving blood. And nothing else was covered that day except this. And I thought to myself, okay, you got 1.1 million people reading the LA Times who were tuned in to this atrocity against the Armenians and understood that through the power of love, we were leveraging it. So all of a sudden, the media attention shifted on something powerful over there, right? And through that written word, you had 1.1 million people reading this story, whereas in the other cases of just standing around and protesting, you know, that's nice. Get a few people that'll be engaged. And it's basically protest is to incite the masses, get people moving about things that maybe some people are scared to really confront. And the basic reality is that how many Armenians are there on the planet? 8 million, 9 million, do you want to say 10 million? Do you know right now I live in a city here in the Los Angeles area? I live in a city where there's more than 10 million people at any given time on the freeways. Wow, think about that. But all the population of Armenians in the world together. And you got more people sitting on the freeways this morning in the commute than you do all throughout the world. Okay, quite a bit. And very little too, right? How do you leverage it? The very little. When you think about 10 million, yeah, it's overwhelming. But you know, you're talking about world politics. You're talking 10 million in a population of 8 billion. Okay, how do you leverage that love? Well, you do these simple acts of kindness and goodness, right? Nobody can argue against giving the blood. And so there was an opportunity for us to change. Well, what happened was that everybody who was our biggest critic next year adopted the plan. And now you go throughout the LA area and some of our biggest critics are now organizing blood drives, doing something good for the community. Back in 2002, 2003, we started the Youth Ministry Center. And one of the first things we did was have a conference on identity. What does it mean to be a Christian, a young Christian Armenian today? And they were the ones, actually, who came up with the idea of in his shoes. That the way you reconcile your past with your today is walking in the shoes of others. And we organized these rallies for children in Africa. Very basic understanding. At one time, we were hungry. We were homeless, called the starving Armenians. So how dare we not react to the plight of people who are starving today? And a small group, a handful of kids, year after year, raised over $500,000 within the course of 4 or 5 years. $500,000 for relief, African relief, which was channeled through World Vision. Again, you know, a tremendous opportunity. And I felt that even more back in 2006 when I went to Rwanda and I had a chance to visit Rwanda some 12 years after the genocide. It was akin to being in Armenia 10 years after, a decade after the genocide. What would I find? What would I see there? And really, I understood that it was the same horror. Genocide is genocide. Evil is evil. And therefore, love is love. Everyone can understand love. If we all understand evil, then definitely we all need to understand love. And I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to my blog from Rwanda. I want to share that with you, too. If you get a chance, it's really worth it. It might be a nice one for some of you. I know some of you listen in and use some of the material that we have here and on our videos in your Sunday schools. You may want to consider that blog, the Rwanda Genocide, especially this Sunday when you've got the 20th anniversary of Rwanda coming up. Anyway, we collected over $500,000 in the course of a few years and gave that to other people. And again, it was an opportunity to showcase love. Why are we doing this? Because of the love that we have as Christians. Christ is alive in our lives. What does that mean? That love is alive in our hearts. And then we get to 2007 where we did the forgiveness conference, once again, an opportunity to talk. So there's a lot of these examples, and you know I've shared these with you throughout the years, but it's so important that we understand that we really have the weapon of choice. And it's nice that we want to put hashtag save Kesab, but we should be talking about not only Kesab, we should be talking about the world. Evil is evil. And we need to be able to leverage the goodness that we have, the love that we have, to combat that evil. And it is possible. Listen, I gave you a lot today. I wanted to just throw it out at you today because this has been really working in me. Like I said, we just heard about Kesab, like literally right after we got it off the air last week. And if you get a chance, I did the Diocesan TV show about the Kesab, but basically talking the same message in a more compact form. I just love the next step because I get to just kind of ramble on, and I'm thankful that you listen to it. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate all of your comments. Listen, let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple minutes, okay?
This is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and a very important message about how you can get involved and how you can bring your participation. I said a few minutes ago, this Sunday happens to be the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide, and it kicks off really a month of genocide commemorations. Genocide, of course, the ultimate in evil, the expression of evil. What Samantha Powers calls hell, the hell on earth, the manifestation of hell. We talk about love being the ultimate good force. What is the evil force? I've shared with this with you in the past. To me, as I've looked at life and thought about the ethics in life, you know, everything is justifiable. You could justify just about everything. You could justify lying, right? There's the classic story of the German coming to the house and saying, "Are there any Jews here?" during the Nazi occupation of many of these countries. "Are there any Jews here?" And it's of course okay to lie when you know that there's a Jew sitting in your closet or hiding in your closet. It's okay to lie, right? You say, "No, there aren't," just so the Nazis will walk by. Is it okay to kill? Well, we talk about self-defense. We talk about defending a country. In other words, whether you believe it or not, there are justifications for these things. But the one thing that you can't justify, the one thing that I firmly believe is probably one of the only things, and I would love to hear from you if you think that there's another moral absolute, but the one thing that you can't justify is rape. In other words, exerting your will upon another. And rape manifests itself in many, many different forms. Yes, on the individual in the form of rape, when we know the ugliness there. And of course, in terms of rape on a section of society, the intolerance, and of course, genocide. The ultimate rape, the rape of a people, of a nation. And so April being Genocide Commemoration Month, it's also an opportunity for us to really talk about leveraging that love, the power that we have to combat that genocide. And it's not just pie in the sky, it's very real. You believe that Christ came to this world and he really touched it with love. Everything that Jesus Christ did on this in his life here on this planet was about loving people, caring about people, sharing with people. And he really said, he said it so beautifully. He says, by this they will know that you are my children. By this you will, they will know that you are my students, my disciples, by the love that you have in your heart. So there's no other way of expressing it. You got to love. And that love is the power that we have. That's the weapon of choice. That's the weapon that we have to combat all the evil in the world. Now, I share this with you throughout the... What are we at? What are we? 304, right? We are at 304 episodes. And it has been a wild journey. I'm going to have a very special announcement for you coming up in 5 weeks. Actually, let's say 6 weeks. I was told 6 weeks, but already a week has passed. But I've got some very, very exciting news coming up in 6 weeks. A new direction that we're going to be going in, and the next step will be evolving into a next step, okay? But it's all about love. It's all about talking about Armenian Orthodoxy in its purest form. And that's why I call it Armadoxy. Not scared to call it or label it as such. Because when you talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, you talk about the church, you talk, you know, there's a lot of trappings. And I'm a priest of the church. I'm part of that system and the trappings. I share with you this Sunday, for instance, is the Sunday of Advent. I really challenge you to listen in on how we approach the Sunday of Advent, for instance. Hey, you're going to hear all kinds of people. You'll go to an Armenian church, you're going to hear about the Sunday of the coming of Christ. That's fine. Jesus coming, the second coming of Christ. Yet for me, when I look at the Armenian Orthodox tradition, and this is why I call it Armadoxy, because it may be a minority view, but when you look at what the Armenian Church Fathers prescribed on that Sunday, the message that they wanted to get across was not about the second coming, but about his first coming. Somebody comes up to Jesus. It's the passage that we read, the lectionary passage for this Sunday. Comes right from the Gospels, where somebody comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Whoa. So what's the best way to be prepared for the second coming but to take the instructions of the first coming? No duh, right? We get so consumed with what's going to happen in the future. Hey, how about talking about what's happening right now? Loving one another, caring for one another, sharing with one another, reaching out to one another. That's what Armadoxy is about. It's about the Armenian Orthodox experience today. So when Susie says, get involved, we need your donation, it's all about getting involved with Armadoxy, with the essence of what Christ is all about. Well, I believe we are at the end of today's show. It's been a pleasure being with you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it. I want to share with you all kinds of stuff. I hope you're getting involved in the Lenten feel, and we are at day 33. If you haven't caught the Lenten journey, do not start today. Go back to day one and get on board. All kinds of ways that you could connect to us. We are at epostle.net. Very easy to remember. It's apostle with an E for the electronic and expanding universe that we find ourselves in. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. For Susie, our producer, Vahe, our webman, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join me again next week as we take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have the next step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.